through my notes from a little while ago, and this was part of what we talked about, I don't know, 5 weeks ago or something like that. It's so interesting where we're at and what's going on, and I am anticipating a redemption of the time. I'm anticipating God doing wonderful things in our midst, and I'm anticipating that maybe a new way of doing a few things actually will bring some goodness into our lives. And so we look forward to what God is doing. I'm just going to start with prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you that we're together, though not all of us are in this place. We are still together as your body. Lord, for those who are ill, we pray. And for those who are not here or even in our circle right now, family and friends in different places in the world, Lord, thank you that you're there too. Thank you. Your goodness, as we've been singing, has not dimmed, has not changed. And that actually nothing this week was a surprise to you. And so we step into this morning trusting, believing, hoping with certainty for good things. Amen. Well, I always find God's timing interesting. I was talking to somebody this morning, and we were talking about coincidences, and that there isn't any. God plans good things for our lives, and I just find it interesting. We've been talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which is, if you read that, sometimes the heading is the gifts of the Spirit, the body of Christ. There's different ways to head that chapter, but I started off jumping into that space, reflecting back to Old Covenant. What was God's way of revealing his glory? And one of those ways, while they were in the desert, was a cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. And we know that when the spies showed up in Jericho, Rahab told them, "We've been waiting in fear and trembling for 40 years, knowing, looking out." Can you imagine looking out? I remember when I did my trip to Israel, we went to the top of Pisgah. And that's where Moses looked out over Israel, and God showed him Israel and said, "Oh, and by the way, you're not going there." But you look back over that and you look out over the desert that they inhabited, which is not just a flat piece of sand. It's rocky and quite mountainous. But I just think of those people in Jericho climbing the mountain and looking out, maybe at night. Maybe they were camping there with their sheep and looking out and going, "Oh my goodness, there they are. Because I can see the pillar of fire." The glory of God, we call it the Shekinah glory. That's a Hebrew term. And we know God's glory is still shining, but in a different way now. We talked a little bit about Elisha and his servant running in at breakfast and going, "We have trouble." You ever thought about that this week? We have trouble. And Elisha goes, "What's the problem?" "They've circled the city. We're done. We can't even escape." And Elisha goes, "Oh, no, you don't understand. Because not all that we see is all that there is." Right? God opened his eyes to what is actually there that he can't see. And then he opened his eyes and saw glorious things of God his army, his chariots, his fire. And I can just, I can only imagine, obviously, whoever painted this was probably a pretty good imagination, but it's based on true events. Open his eyes. We've been talking about overflow and reminding that the source is not us. We're the container. Fill us, O God, to overflowing. And was it last week, Barry? I think we talked about being all in. Now, this is a gambling illustration. So I thought, well, let's do something a little more biblical. And this is all in too, because this is a treasure in a field that a man went and found. I don't know if he stumbled over it. It's a story that Jesus told. And when he found it, he opened it up and he realized, if I own this field, then everything that I need will be supplied. And he went, and I don't know what realtor they were using, but the realtor told him, you can't buy that field unless you're all in. That field requires everything you have. And so in the man's mind, he must have weighed everything I have versus the treasure I know that will satisfy everything I need. Interesting, isn't it? And I think I've had lots of reflections personally this week. I woke up at 2:30 and I thought about some of the stuff. We've been processing a fair bit this week as the pastoral team, our conference, our insurers, lots of news, of course. And I'm wondering, what will it look like to be maybe unemployed? What would that look like? Unemployed as in not having money coming in. There'll be lots to do. We were talking a little bit about some of the people who decided to quickly buy up all the hand sanitizer and sell it at huge markup. And interestingly, our world has said, not going to happen. You can buy it, but you're not going to sell it. And so what's their choice now? Give it away. Isn't that interesting? It's almost like enforcement of the kingdom of God in people who wanted to take advantage of the kingdom, the world. So interesting. I was talking to somebody last week, and he's a little bit like me. He's a survival gear guy. And have you ever, I don't know, who here is a survival gear guy? There's a few? No, okay, just me. I've got one in my plane, I got one in my car, I got one in my garage. I always keep a flashlight. I've got my Leatherman. So we were just looking at stuff, and one of the things of a survival gear is you like to keep, like if you're stuck someplace, it's good to have something to take your mind off of things. And so one of the things is a little pack of cards. And so we talked a little bit about that. And another one is, I like to keep a Gideon Bible in my survival gear. And so we had that conversation. And he was going, yeah, but the Bible, it's a little bit bigger than the cards. And it's like, and I said, you know, but there's something else about the Bible. It's different than playing cards. For one thing, I don't know how to play solitaire, and I probably would cheat if I did. When I read the Bible, I hear from God. And wouldn't you just love to hear from God if you're in a place where everything's been stripped away? Wouldn't you just love to hear from him? The Bible brings comfort. The Bible speaks to the truths of the universe. So we are taking a look at First Corinthians, and again, timing is everything, right? Being the church no matter what, no matter where, no matter when, no matter how, what's missing? The why? Okay, I missed that one, sorry. There's one other one missing. The who? Except we know who the who is, don't we? The church, us, the body of Christ. So I'm just going to read a little bit from chapter 12, and then we're just going to talk about a few things. Paul spoke to a group of people who were arguing amongst themselves, who were struggling with a number of things. They were living in the world. They were persecuted to some degree. And Paul said, for just as the body is one, chapter 12, verse 12, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. And it doesn't matter what our ethnicity is. It doesn't matter what our economics are. It doesn't matter what our gender is. Jews, Greeks, slaves, free, all are made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body? No, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if an ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, there's a picture for you. Would it, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. Can you imagine? Just think about that. God actually has arranged the members of the, that means you. He has actually intentionally created to be a part of the body. And so we use pictures like this, and Paul's using a picture of a human body just to help us understand that. But we're not talking about a human body. We're talking about the body of Christ. We're talking about God's glory on earth, Shekinah glory in mobile temples. And some of those mobile temples, I had a conversation with somebody the other day, and they said, you know, I find it difficult to pray with people unless I really know them well. And I looked at them and I realized God has made it really easy for me to pray with people even if I don't even know their name, which might be you this morning. We all have different parts to play. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you, nor again the hand to the feet, I have no need of you. In some ways, how ridiculous. We know that's ridiculous. But some ways, we forget the body of Christ, the people of God, all have a piece to play in this amazing, I'm going to say, dance of God on earth. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem weaker, he says, are actually indispensable. What would the weaker parts of Christ's body be? What would the weaker parts of Christ's body be? Any ideas? Babies, thank you. Mm-hmm. Somebody else? Maybe the other end of the spectrum? Maybe some of the elderly. I remember my mom, when she ended up in a home, because we couldn't care for her well enough. And my mom's gift all through her life was serving. So now she's in bed, and she's having to be served, right? Somebody's got to do all of those very rather humiliating mundane things, and she couldn't do any. That was hard. And God gave her, in those days, he gave her a mission. And he says, I want you to memorize their names, ask about their families, and pray for them. And that gave her incredible purpose. And oh, what a blessing. When her funeral happened, all the staff were there because she prayed for them. She asked about their kids. She asked about their spouse. She was engaged. But was she vulnerable or weak? Yeah, for sure. What's another weak part in the body of Christ? If you're sick, absolutely. So you don't have what it takes to necessarily reach out or do the things you would normally do. Absolutely, yeah. I'm going to pick on one. You guys had someone in your house, in your home for a while. Her name was Laura. And I often saw Laura, in many ways, was a giant in the body of Christ, but in many ways very vulnerable, because Laura had some mental health needs and physical health needs that she needed special care for. But if you hung out with Laura much, you found out she was a giant in the faith. She was a person who actually created space in the body of Christ. But was she what we would call weaker? Yeah, for sure. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow greater honor, and unpresentable with greater modesty. And so Paul's using the picture of the human body, and so we could maybe, you know, say, what would be less honorable? What would be a less honorable part? Well, you know, sometimes you clear your throat and you have stuff in your mouth and you're outside and you spit. That's kind of disgusting. The saliva in your mouth actually does all kind. We could actually have Dan come up and tell us all the things. It's pre-digestion. It's all kinds of stuff. But so what part of the body of Christ might be something that we would go, ugh. Yeah. You know, it was interesting when I was visiting my dad in the hospital, and I went down into the washroom. It was probably 2 or 3 in the morning. He had been injured, and so we were grieving. We were kind of a 24-hour watch, and I went into the washroom, and there's nobody in the washroom except this little Chinese fellow, older fellow, cleaning the washroom. And I was like, what do I do, right? He's cleaning the wash. Oh, like, And he goes, no, come. Whatever. So he keeps cleaning, and as I was leaving, I said, thank you for cleaning the washroom. I feel so bad. I made it messy again. He goes, no, you no understand. You no use, me no job. Like, he understand there's a principle here, rather than being, what'd you make a mess? I just washed this. No. No, actually, you're a part of this cycle that actually gives me life. Isn't that interesting? I never forget that. Unpresentable parts. Of course, with the body, there's unpresentable parts. So what are the unpresentable parts in the body of Christ? Yes. Sure.
Right.
So sometimes people who call the shots and say, hey, whoa, that's just inappropriate, or that they maybe we be politically incorrect, or whatever that looks like. Yeah, for sure. Different ways. So we'll let you think about that. Which are presentable parts, so I'll just back up. We treat those parts with greater modesty, which our presentable parts don't require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to that part which was lacking, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may all have the same care one for another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. So there's an interesting, I would say, mystery to that. The body of Christ is all of the people of God. Then we actually know the body of Christ is a local body of believers. And we also know the body of Christ is where two or three are gathered together. And we also know the body of Christ is individual members. Isn't that interesting, eh? He cares for each one. He cares for the two or three. He cares for the local congregation. And he cares for all the people across the world, not only who know him and who don't know him, who are yet to know him. Isn't that interesting? So, as you can see, I prepared communion for you this morning. It looks slightly different than normal. One of my first jobs when I was working at InterVarsity Camps, I showed up there and I was probably 16 or 17, and he said, go to the Outtrip Shack, and there's 130 campers and leaders leaving, and you're going to pack all the Outtrip boxes. So that's what I did for probably about, I don't know, 3 weeks out of 5 or 6 weeks. Just packed stuff and counted it out, put it in bags, put it in the boxes. So that's what I did for you. We're not going to have communion here this morning because, don't you love field trips? You know, like when I would go to school and they could say, next week we're going to have a field trip, and I'm like, awesome, I don't go into school. But the teachers here who know, you actually are going to learn stuff, right? And I'm going like, awesome, I don't have to learn anything. It's great. Yeah, field trips, I love them. Well, you know, Jesus in Luke 10, verse 1 said, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he was about to go. Okay, guys, it's a field trip. Another way of looking at this might be, I call it Christian camping. Why do you call it that? Well, you know, and Barry's talked about this. When you're at home, you have a stove, you have a fridge, you have food, you have a nice, comfortable bed, and life is relatively easy. When you go camping, you have a stove, you might have a fridge, probably a cooler. You probably have a bed, but it's not comfortable, maybe. Why do we camp? What's with that? And so some of us go, let's have a staycation and camp at home. And I remember with the kids, you know, you even set up a tent in the living room. It was awesome because it never got rained on. I'm just introducing us to, I would say, a parallel journey where we have homes that we can live in, but we go camping intentionally, sometimes for fun, sometimes for guys like me who are the survival gears. We actually want to, you know, pull out the survival kit and actually see if anything in there works. What would it look like if all of your life you've been preparing for something and then it happened? And you had to, actually, camping became normal. What would it look like if this was our last Sunday for 3, 4, 5 months that we could gather together here? What would that look like? I think what it would look like would be camping. We would get on the phone. We would go knock on a door. We would say, hey, can we get together this Sunday? In our home, in your home, maybe at the campsite. I think that's what it would look like. In fact, I know that's what it would look like because many places in the world right now and in all the years past haven't been able to do this. This is bonus for the body of Christ. This is actually pleasantly extra. Rather than this is not core, this is dessert. The meat and potatoes is actually get out, connect. And so if you're one of those people, and maybe this is your first time here this morning, or second or third, and maybe you're having difficulty connecting, I'm going to encourage you that if you go home and you wait for somebody to call, it might not happen. I'm just saying, we don't do this well yet. So I'm just encouraging you, grab a directory at the back, make a phone call, reach out. Because if we don't, it will get lonely. And this part, this bonus part, if that piece is taken away or leaves, or we need to make choices for caring of those in our midst, and that will be okay. I really care for the vulnerable in our midst. Right now, who are the vulnerable in this situation? The elderly, of course. Anybody just slightly older than me. I do have gray hair. So Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So they all got together and they prayed. I can just see it, right? There's the 12 and there's the 72 and there's probably about another 50. And they all prayed, oh Lord, send out laborers into the harvest. And then what happened? He sent them out. Okay, you guys, you are the answer to the prayer you just prayed. Awesome! Wasn't that easy? We are the answer to that prayer. And so it's not just reaching out to those in our church directory. It's actually reaching out to our neighbors. It's actually reaching out. Do you think possibly in this moment in time that people might be rethinking, possibly, where their values are? It's pretty wonderful. I'm just going to have a little quick story. Donna and I went and visited where she grew up, Manitoba. We went and visited her aunt. And her aunt, I would say, is a little forgetful. She's 94. This is a couple years ago. A little forgetful. Donna introduced herself and then reintroduced herself, and then I didn't even bother. So part of me said, you know, I wonder if she'd be interested in hearing in the good news of Jesus. Because all her life she said, not interested. You know, the wonderful thing about dementia is that we forget things about what we were angry about. So I had the opportunity. I was walking through town one day, and God just said, go over there. Go over there. So I went over there. She had no clue who I was. She let me in anyways. And we sat down. We had this discussion. She said, of course I'd like Jesus in my heart. Would you like to pray with me? Of course I would like to pray with you. Prayed with her. And I went home to Donna's mom, and I mentioned it, and Donna's mom goes, I don't know. Like, how does that all work? It was a slightly different conversation than that. And you know what? Donna's aunt's a changed lady from that day forward. So, you know, sometimes what we think is really bad, like losing our minds as we get old, when we lose parts of us that keep us from God, that's really great. You know, think about that. And I would never ask for a coronavirus, and I would never ask for dementia or many other things, but I would sure ask for God to move. And I'm willing to take whatever basket he gives me to move. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. You know what? I'm gonna give you this piece. The enemy of our souls, what's his key weapon against us? Lies, fear. And what do those lies do to us as what's those lies and things do to our relationship? It pushes our relationship to each other apart. Right? And so the relationship with us and God and the relationship with us together, his key weapon is anything that will push us apart. Do you think that might be part of what's going on right now? Maybe? You think? And so if we can't meet here on Sunday mornings, he's going, yes, I got him. They're so done. And I go, you're so done. Because we're just going to fill homes. And in fact, you know what? Maybe after this is all over, we'll just meet once a month here just because we're so having so much fun in our homes. What would that look like? Wouldn't that be crazy? You see, because we have opportunities. And you know, I've been talking to a fellow in Mongolia. We meet together every couple of weeks or so. And they've been in lockdown now for 6-7 weeks. No more than 10 people can meet at one time. There's different ways that our enemy would like to isolate us. And I'm going to say no to that. No to that. So if it's 10, we can do 10. If it's nobody leaving the house, well, there's Facebook, there's... Have you ever heard of those things? The telephone, that's an amazing tool that has been lacking in use quite recently. FaceTime, absolutely. The 72 returned with joy saying, all of those things in the heavenly realms that are against us are submitted. So, when you go on a field trip, remember all the teachers, there's always a report at the end, right? You always have to write a report. I liked it when he showed me the machines. Thought that was a good picture. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from his authority was stripped. What he was trying to do, not happening. And then Jesus said, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. Don't rejoice in that peace. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Of course, we have authority. That's just a given. But rejoice that your names are written in heaven. The body of Jesus, unstoppable. We are unstoppable. You know, if you're all in, if he takes my life, if he takes my job, if he takes my home, or maybe some of the other things, No, the body of Christ, Jesus lives in me. I actually am an eternal person. Yeah. So, here's how it's going to work. There's about 30 here. So, there's not enough for every person. I did that intentionally. So, I'm just going to say, have a discussion here. And maybe there's about 7, sometimes 8 little cups in there. And that doesn't have to limit you. I'm sure that in this drinking box, you could probably come up with 10. You probably have cups in your home. These are home communion kits. There's instructions. I told you I'm a survival gear guy, right? Come on. There's even a Bible verse. Come on. They are rice, so if you are gluten intolerant, no sweat. Come on. I want you to take this assignment in anticipation. Who would God bring to my home? What would an evening or a morning or an afternoon look like? What would that look like to have communion? What would it look like to do something with my neighbors I never could imagine to have done? So I'm going to do something. When I went to my cousin's home, he was dying of cancer. I think he was 32. No, he's about 32. Yeah. They just had 2 little boys. It was hard stuff. And I thought, let's have communion. The family's here. His brother was there, and he looked at me and he just says, I can't have communion. You're not an ordained minister. And I thought, really? So, you know what? Maybe that's something for you, or maybe that's something for your neighbors. Maybe that's a little wall or hurdle that's difficult. So I want to just pray over these things and bless them for you to be the person who is ordained to do communion in your home. So, Lord Jesus, these elements, the fruit of the vine and the bread, these wafers, Lord, we commit them to your people for their nourishment. Lord, I thank you that your anointing rests on them. I thank you, Lord, not only does your anointing rest on these elements, but on those who would present them in your name to whoever you would bring to their homes. We look forward, Lord, in this time of difficulty, that you would be shuffling the deck, that you would be drawing people to you who are rethinking their priorities. We bless your name, Lord. We honor you. Thank you. Sorry, couldn't hear you.